You know, last week we started a new series called I Love My Church. Amen. And I do. I love my church. But we're not just talking about Destiny Church, even though I love Destiny Church. And but we're talking about the church of God. Amen. The church that God wants us to be. Not just here locally, Destiny Church, but every church around the world, we are called to be the people of God, to be the community of God. And so last week, we started off looking at some of the values that we hold dear, that we believe make Destiny the church that of God that we want to be. And what we talked about last week was, I love my church because my church enjoys life. Amen. We want to be people that enjoy life. And before we say that sounds simplistic or that doesn't sound very spiritual, listen, God's the one that is the giver of life. Amen. And he wants us, John 10:10, to have life to the fullest, life abundantly, life overflowing. And so we want to be people that have that kind of life. And we said there was three ways that we would be a life-giving church, a church that would have a culture of life. And it was, number one, we need to love life, right? We need to enjoy the life that God has given to us. Listen, I see people all the time. They get up every morning and they dread going to work. They dread getting out of bed. They dread whatever they're going to face in the day. They hate life. And God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to find the life that he has for us. It doesn't mean it's going to be without problems, but it means that we're going to learn to love the life God's given us. And then we said the second thing, if we're going to be a church that enjoys life, we've got to love people. You can't hate others and not like being around people and still call yourself a Christian that loves God. You've got to love other people. We were talking about this morning in Sunday school. We're a body that God has called us to be connected to one another. You need people in your life. You need relationships. You need people to speak into your life. You need people to encourage you. You need people to tell you to straighten up. You need people to tell you to sit down and shut up. Whatever it is, you need people. And if you're a person that you don't like other people and you're constantly in friction with other people, then you need to look inside and say, what's wrong with me that I don't love being around other people? If we're going to be a church that enjoys life, we got to love life. We got to love people. And then we said, number three, we need to have the greatest love there is for God. A passionate, madly and passionately in love with Jesus. Jesus told the church in Revelation, book of Revelation, that they had lost their first love. And we talked this morning in Sunday school, we're talking about the things that get in the way of our love for God, whatever it is. And we've got to get rid of those things and say, Jesus, just like we sang about there at the end, I want more of you. I want more of you. I need you more. And listen, if we do that, then we're going to enjoy life. And we said we want to be a church that is a fun place to be. I know that that's a four-letter word in a lot of churches, but we want to be a church that has fun. You know, God invented fun. He invented joy. He invented the pleasurable things of life. And so we want to be a church that it's a joy to be a part of, that it's a joy to be here. People don't dread getting up and coming to church on Sunday morning. We want to be that kind of church. Next week, we're going to look at I love my church because my church does what we did this morning. We encounter God. Amen. We're going to talk about encountering God next week, but we do this periodically. We're going to have a service where it's going to be, and God changed it up this morning. This morning could have been encounters God because we had a God encounter. Amen. But you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. God wants us to go so much deeper. And so next week, what we're going to do is we'll start off with just a couple of songs. Then I'll probably share for just a few minutes. And then we're going to finish the service just worshiping. We're just going to worship God. There will be a cross in here. We bring the cross in. If you want to come kneel at the cross, if you've got a prayer request, you want to put it on the cross, give it to Jesus, just symbolic. And then we're going to finish by taking communion. It'll be a great time that we're just going to encounter God. How many of you know the world needs to encounter Jesus? All the preaching in the world isn't going to save anybody. It's an encounter at the cross with Jesus. It's an encounter with the power of God. So we're going to leave a time that we're going to encounter God. I'm thankful that we can do that. This week, I love my church because my church, this is where we're going to park today. My church exists for others. My church exists for others. You know, last year, Samuel and I went to, was it last year? We went to St. Louis for his school trip. And we had a great time seeing all the sights in St. Louis. And we were at the zoo. And one of the periods of time, we were sitting there and it was hot. You know, it was in that time of year when it's beginning to warm up. And so there were some tables out under a shade. And we decided that we were going to stop, and we were with some of the other parents and their kids, and get a sandwich, get some lunch, and sit down over at these tables that were in the shade. And so we're sitting there, and we're eating, and we're talking, and the kids were doing their own thing, and Samuel may have not even paid attention to this, but there was a person that was going around, and they were giving samples of the food to people to encourage them to stop and get something to eat at their stand where they were. And so we're sitting there in the shade, and this worker is going to the tables where people have already gotten their food and are already sitting down, and she's going to the tables in the shade and saying, "Would you like a sample of our chicken sandwich? Would you?" And it's like, okay, we've got our food. We've already been fed. And we were sitting there and just kind of like, you know, how laughable that was. All the girl needed to do was to step out of the shade and go out into the sun where people were just bustling by and give the food to the people that hadn't already been fed. But she was coming to those that had already been fed, trying to give them more food, and all she needed to do was step out. Man, that place would have been overflowing with business if she'd gone to the people that hadn't been fed. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Come on, unbelievers are not being fed because unbelievers are not being fed because the believers are unwilling to get out of the shade and the comfort that they feel inside the walls of the church and step out into the heat where the masses are and give them a piece of bread. Jesus said in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen? Come on, y'all do better than that. Amen? You believe that? He is the bread of life. And we are called to give the bread of life to a world that is dying of hunger. They don't even know they need the bread of life. They know they need something. Too many times we're content to stay in the shade, and we keep feeding the already full samples of Jesus to the people that have already been fed. We're not braving the elements to serve the bread of life. It's been said that the gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to buy bread. Jesus is the bread of life, and we're called to give. Now, I've got a table out here this morning, and everybody's been, the kids were like, "What's that table for? You're going to do..." The church is a table. Amen? The church is a table. You know, it's compared to a table. I could go through, and there's lots of scriptures where it talks about the table of the Lord God. You know, he said, "Taste and see that he is good." And so the church is a table where people can come to be fed the things of God. Do you understand where I'm going this morning? And so at our church, we want to be a church who our vision and our value is to feed those who need to be fed, not just feed those who've already been fed. Now, all of us have been fed. All of us have eaten of the bread of life. But how many people out in Bowling Green have never been fed the bread of life? And so Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." So in a sense, Jesus is saying, "Listen, I'm the cosmic carbohydrate," right? Everybody's focusing on their their carbs right now. Good carbs, bad carbs. Listen, he is the ultimate good carb, amen? He is the bread of life. We need the good carbs, right? And we're going to eat. So let's talk about getting the table ready. You know, when you invite people over to your house to... and have people over for company. You're having some kind of a dinner, having something going on. It's a big deal. It takes work, right, to get your house ready, to clean your house. And you set the table in a certain way, and you want it to look nice. You present, you know, if it was just us and the kids, we just throw the food on the table and just get whatever you want. But when the company's coming over, right? You got company, you put it in a little bit nicer dish. You put out the pretty, you know, place setting, and you make things look nice. And I realize this isn't not fine china or anything, but we've dressed it up to make it look nice. And we do that when we're having company over. You see, the invitation is important. The way we invite is important. And you have to invite people. You have to invite people to the table. You're going to have people over to your house. You're going to send them a text message. You're going to send them a Facebook message. Or you're going to call them. Or you're going to get them on the phone. Or, wow, but try this. Walk up to them face to face and actually interact with them. I know that's a foreign concept in this day and age, but you might actually walk up to the person's face and say, would y'all like to come over for dinner? Amen. And so I know that's not the way we do things anymore. We can text the person sitting right next to us, but either way, we need to invite people to come to the table. Remember, the table is what? The church. And the Bible commands hospitality. I could preach a whole sermon, maybe I need to, on hospitality. Because it takes work to entertain. Entertain has become a bad word when it comes to the church. People, I don't want to be a church that we're entertaining people. We don't understand the definition of entertain. Entertain simply means to hold someone's attention. And as a preacher of the gospel, if I'm not holding your attention, then I'm not doing my job. I do want to entertain you so that you can be entertained. Amen? So that the inner man is being, his needs are being met and his heart is being changed. Jesus held the attention of the people he preached to for hours and hours and hours. Only Jesus wasn't boring. He entertained the people. And so what does it translate into in the church in the modern day? Church should not be boring. Now, I'm not talking about the glitz and the glam and the lights and all of that kind of stuff, because all of that is very thin. There's not much substance there, amen? But when we're preaching the gospel, we want our preaching to hold people's attention, to grab their at their heart and change their life. Had opportunity when we were in transition between churches to just sit and not have to do ministry. And there were some Sundays that just kind of go stand in the back of the room and you just watch people, or maybe you sit in the car a little bit longer before it's time to go in, and you watch and you see people that are coming to church. And there are some that get out and they got a whole family and they're going in. And then you got people that come in alone. They come in all by themselves. And I just thought to myself, why are we coming to church alone? Say that to me. Why as a family are we coming to church, and who are we inviting? Who are we going to bring with us to the table? You understand? Who are you going to bring to church with you? Listen, there's people all around you, people that you go to school with, people that you work with, people that you encounter on a daily basis who are hurting, who have never been to the table, they've never eaten the bread of life. Who are you inviting to the table? I want to challenge you with that. We're getting ready to move into Easter is going to be in a few weeks. And as we're talking about I love my church, I want our church to be a place that exists for others. We've got to be outward focused, not inward focused. It's not the Bless Me Club. There's plenty of churches like that around. If you want to go somewhere, you just get blessed all the time, then you go to those churches. But we want to be blessed here too. We got blessed this morning. Next week, we're going to talk about encountering God. And we want to be blessed. But we want to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. So that we're going out. And Jesus said, compel them to come. Go out into the highways and the byways. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to obey everything I command. making disciples. And literally what it means when he said go, Israel, put that up on the screen, Matthew 28:19. Literally when he says to go into all the world, what he's saying is not, we have this idea of God saying, well, I need to move to China. That would be going. Or I'm going to have to move across country, or I'm going to have to give up my house. No, what it means in the Greek, literally, when he's saying, go and make disciples, he's saying, as you're going, that's what it literally says, as you're going through your life, make disciples. Some of us are going to be called to go to other countries. That's going to be a part of the going. But as you're going through your daily routine, as you're going to school, as you're going to work, as you're going to the store, be looking for opportunities where you can touch people and begin to make disciples. Who are you going to invite to the table? Easter Sunday, we're going to make it Friends Day. Easter Sunday is going to be Friends Day. Man, I think Easter Sunday is one of the greatest Sundays to invite people to church. People are automatically thinking about God. They're thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about church. And most people will go to church on Easter or Christmas. They're the ones we call the Creasters, right? They go Christmas or Easter. And so grab some of those Creasters and bring them here on Easter Sunday. Amen. It's going to be Friends Day. We could spend a bunch of money having a big outreach and passing out 100,000 Easter eggs and Xboxes and have a big place where people would come and we'd preach the gospel and maybe one or two people would raise their hand, but none of those people rarely ever darken the door of a church again. I've done those things. I've done those events. It's great for the name of your church. It gets your name out there in the community. People see exciting thing going on. Wow, that's a great church. But rarely, if ever, did anybody come back to the church because of that. See, people are going to come to the church because I've got a relationship with Ken Casavecchi, and I know Ken, and Ken and I are friends, and when Ken tells me something, I can understand that's coming from Ken, and I know that what Ken's telling me is the truth. And so when I invite that person that I've got that relationship with, guess what? Which way are they more likely going to come to a church, hear the gospel, and stay in a church and get plugged in and find their destiny that God has for their life? Somebody that just goes to an egg hunt to get the candy, or somebody that has a relationship with you? Amen? Who are you going to invite to the table? There's a lot of preparation that goes into setting the table. There's a lot of work that goes into setting all of this up. And I'm so proud of our team. I'm proud of all the work that they do and the heart that you have to minister to other people. People come in here every Saturday and set up for the things that we have because they want to reach people. But church, it can't just be about reaching each other. If it was, we could have just stayed in our living room and continued to gather around the piano, right? But that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to reach people that have never been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about me, right? It's about my church exists for others. I'm just going to skip a bunch of stuff. We've got some chairs around this table. I want to talk for a few minutes about the chairs. This is chair number one. This chair right here is the chair that Destiny Church exists for. This is the chair. Now hear what I'm saying. This is the chair. Chair number one. Chair number one represents people who are far away from God. People who don't know the Lord. People who've never eaten. They're the ones that are walking through the heat back and forth and nobody's walked up and given them a taste of Jesus. That's what chair one represents, people that are far away from God. Listen, there are even people that come to church, but they're far away from God. So it's not just the unsaved, it's people that you know that they come to church, but churches and Jesus have never really made a change in their life. They're far away from God. And if we're going to be an Acts 2 church, an Acts 2 church that has the power of God, that's reaching people, that's preaching the gospel, we've got to be chair one focused. That we are focused on reaching the unsaved. Amen. Our focus always has to be outward. Yes, we need to be blessed. Yes, we need to be fed. Yes, we need to be discipled. That's the process that takes place in the church. But we exist to reach people. Did you know that most church growth happens from sheep changing stalls. Most churches grow because somebody gets mad at somebody. Somebody gets mad at some preacher and they jump ship and they go to the church across town. Or a bunch of people go to that church because they got the coolest music or the coolest lights or the preacher's hip with his tattoos and his piercings and his cool hat and his cool jeans. And oh, man, I just love him. I can relate to him. Well, that's great because he's entertaining them and he's reaching them hopefully with the gospel. But listen, we've got to be outward focused, not just focused on who can we reach that we used to go to church with over there, and maybe they get mad at the pastor, and so now they'll start coming over here. You understand what I'm saying? We need to be focused outward. I think one third of a healthy church, one third should be made up of chair one people. And I don't know that right now that Destiny Church is made up of one third of chair one people. This is a challenge. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. Who are you going to invite to the table? Who are we? Come on, we need to start praying, God, fill this chair. See, I don't look at these chairs and see, oh man, there's a bunch of people that didn't come to church today. No, I see souls that are yet to be saved. These chairs represent souls, and we need to begin to pray. When you see these empty seats, say, God, I thank you. That seat's empty right there. Well, it's because I'm preaching right now. But that seat's empty right now because somebody needs to come in and fill that seat. Man, I would love a day when that seat's filled because somebody's sitting there and I've got to stand the whole service. Amen? Come on, stir yourself up. You feel this thing. We've got to quit sitting on our lazy rear ends and say, I can come to church and Pastor Jimmy will preach a message. The worship will be great and go home. And it doesn't affect how we feel about the world around us because people are dying and going to hell. And what do you care? What do I care? We need to be concerned about the chair one people. And chair one is hard to understand until you bring somebody to sit in it. But I'm going to tell you what, you want your life to be changed? You want God to rock your world? Bring somebody that doesn't know the Lord to this chair and begin to minister to them and talk to them. And one day when they get saved, it will totally flip your world upside down and you will never look back. See, too much time in church, we're focused on me. Is it gonna affect me? How's it gonna impact my life? We need to be focused right here. Who can I bring to sit in this chair? Who can you bring Easter Sunday to sit in this chair? Who can you bring? Who can you invite? Who's a person that you can minister to? Get up in the morning and say, God, open my eyes to see the people that are hurting, that need you. Come on, am I touching anybody this morning? Chair number two. Chair number two is, we'll call the baby believers. Those who have gotten saved and they've been in chair one, but now they've crossed over into new life. They've stepped over the line of being unsaved, being a part of the community, to coming in and now being a part of the God's people, a part of the core. And we've got to teach them how to be intimate with God, how to have a relationship with God. The Bible compares it to the relationship between a husband and a wife. The church and the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ and Jesus is the bridegroom. It's the same as the relationship that a husband and a wife have. The intimacy and the communication that takes place. It's Jesus and his church. And listen to me. If there's intimacy going on between Jesus and his church, between the bride and the bridegroom, there's going to be reproduction. Right? Come on. Kids aren't in the room. Right? When mamas and daddies, there's reproduction that takes place. And in a healthy church, when we are intimate with Jesus, when we are passionately in love with Jesus, there's going to be more people to sit in this chair. Come on, there's going to be new believers. There's going to be people being born. And so I have to ask myself, if we don't have people being born again, we're not being intimate enough with Jesus as a church. I'm not being intimate enough with Jesus as your pastor. I'm being transparent. Because I want to see souls saved. I want to see people saved and brought in the kingdom of God. Listen, time is drawing short. Have you seen the news? My gosh, what's going on in our world? Jesus is getting ready to come again. And how many people that you know, that you work with, that you've been around, how many people maybe in our own church are going to end up in hell? They've been playing church instead of really being saved. Oh, we've got work to do. We've got to get intimate with the Lord. And intimacy with Jesus produces new life. It produces reproduction, produces babies. And chair number three, real quick, I'm going to move through these last two. It represents mature believers. And chair one's the lost, chair two is babies, chair three is most of you. Most of you would fall into that chair three category, mature believers. You are spiritual parents, many of you. You should be spiritual parents if you're not. If you've been in church more than a couple of years, you should be being a spiritual parent. Shame on you if you're not. Shame on me if I'm not. Come on, you're the ones that are serving. You're the ones that are sharing. You're the ones that are teaching. You're the ones that are praying for the sick. You're the ones that should be ministering. You're the ones that should be sowing seed. Am I making sense? You're the mature believers. Hebrews 6:1 said, let us leave the elementary teachings about Jesus behind and march on to maturity. It's time to become mature believers in God. Come on, if we love the church, and we love this church, we're going to exist for other people. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. You know, we shouldn't have to tell people if we're mature. If you're mature, you shouldn't have to tell everybody you're mature. They should just see it in your life. They should see the maturity that's in your life. I don't have to tell all of you that I'm a grown-up. Well, maybe sometimes, but yeah, I don't have to tell y'all that I'm a grown-up. I pay my own bills. I have my own house. I drive my own car. I get myself to work, whatever. You don't have to convince somebody when you're a grown-up. And because of the maturity that you have in God, you're the ones that should be bringing new people, seeing them get saved, and then discipling the babies so that they move, and it's a cycle. You see the cycle? Chair one, chair two, chair three. And then those people grow up and they reach new people. And it becomes a cycle. There becomes an ecosystem of life, a culture of life. Introducing, inviting people, bringing people. Then we understand that the table has to be set and all of this work has to go in to making it happen. And we don't just come and fill the pew anymore and sit in a chair and say, wow, all this is really cool. I wonder who put all that up. No, we're now the one getting up and coming and helping do this, preparing things so that somebody else can come into chair number one. Amen? Come on, it's a cycle, and it's time to grow up. People that say, I'm not getting fed. You hear that all the time. I'm just not getting fed. I'm just not being fed. I'm going to go to a church where I can get fed. Now, I don't hear that. We haven't heard it here. I'm not saying that, but I hear it in churches in general. Well, let me just say this. If you are a mature believer, why do you need someone else to feed you? It's awful quiet in this Lutheran church. Why do you need other people to feed you? Feed yourself. It's about chair number one. The church is able to function because of the faithfulness of everybody in chair number three, but it's about chair number one, and so the cycle grows. Come on, don't say, I'm not being fed. Get in the Word of God and feed yourself. And then help to feed other people. I know what time it is. We'll finish with this last chair. Some of us have these at our tables, right? We have people over. What's that one called? The high chair. This is the chair we don't want any of our people to be at unless they're this age. Right? Come on. Chair four is the high chair. These are the needy, whiny, dirty diaper, selfish believers. I want my worship. I want my seat. I want someone to talk to me. I want me. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? That's not who we are. Watch this. Israel, play that second video, video number two.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right? Come
here. Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Come on, that's not the kind of church we want. It's not all about you, it's about chair number one. Come on, as a pastor, as the chef that prepares the food to go on the table week in and week out, pastors have to decide, are we going to satiate the whiners? Are we going to shove a pacifier in their mouth and let them leave? Right? I don't want anybody to leave. But we can't appease the few in the high chair to the exclusion of everybody else. And if you're in the high chair, grow up. Move to the seat that was designed for you as a mature believer in Christ. You should be discipling somebody else by now. Amen? You should be seeing someone else get saved. You should be the one out in the heat passing out the samples to the people that are hurting and that are broken, that have never been to the table before. Come on. We're going to do what God called us to do as a church. And we're going to be the table. We're going to be the table that God's called us to be. But it's time to quit making excuses. It's time to put off the laziness. It's time to quit saying I can't do that or I don't know how to witness to somebody. Listen, it doesn't take some degree. It doesn't take some significant training. I mean, it's not that. You're just relating to people. People that God's already put in your life. Invite them. Invite them to come to the table. People don't care all the churchy words and all the stuff. Listen, there is a truth, and God's word has to be preached. It's the only thing that's going to convict them in their heart. So I understand there's some training, there's some basic concepts, but don't get bogged down in I've got to be some great preacher. Just talk to the people that God's put around you and opportunities will arise. Lindsay was telling us a story in Sunday school about how some woman kept calling their house at 3:00 in the morning, 4 or 5. row. And they were, good grief, who is this stupid woman from California that keeps calling our phone at 3 o'clock in the morning? You got the wrong number, lady. And then finally, she hung up and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, maybe you need to ask her, is there anything that you can pray with her about? Because she keeps calling your number. So Lindsay got on the phone, called the woman back and said, ma'am, you know, this may sound strange. And she begins to talk to the woman starts crying, telling her how her sister committed suicide and she was suicidal. And just, she wasn't calling her for that. She had the wrong number, but God had caused her to call so their paths would cross and Lindsay would be able to speak the life of God into that young woman. How many people do you encounter on a daily basis? People that you work around that are hurting, people that you are around that they're telling you their problems. And too many times somebody telling us their problems and we're just saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Gosh, I hate you're going through that. That must really be difficult. And we just turn around and walk away. No, how about you take them by hand and say, can I pray for you? You know, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know God? That's the only way I get through my problems is with Jesus. And then you can invite him to come to church to find out about the life that you have. You know, listen, it's real simple. Who are you going to invite to the table? Are we going to be a church that's focused on just being a bunch of people that are already fed, already fat? Or are we going to be a church that's focused on reaching the lost, reaching the hurting, reaching the broken? I want to show you one more video and then we're going to pray. Israel number three. It's real fast. This is not a long video. Son, and how many people living in Bowling Green are getting ready to head over the cliff? Their canoes heading straight for the waterfall. And let that not be said of Destiny Church. Let that not be said of me. John Knox is one of my heroes in the faith, and John Knox prayed, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. He had such a heart for the nation of Scotland. He said, God, give me Scotland or I die. If you're not going to save this nation that I'm preaching to, then just take me on to heaven. Just kill me now, but give me Scotland or I die. Come on, we need to have a heart that says, God, give me Bowling Green or I die. Give me Kentucky or I die. Lord, give me the United States or take me home. Come on, is that your heart? Is that your heart? Come on, that's the heart that we need to have. When I gave out Lifesavers a couple of weeks ago, I hope you've still got yours. You're keeping it in your pocket until that chair number one is filled and somebody comes in and they get saved because you invited them to church. If you're counting on me and Renee to invite everybody to church, then it's not going to happen. Y'all go a whole lot more places and see a whole lot more people than me and her. If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, no, it's all our jobs. As we go, come on, we're not going to let anybody go over the waterfall. We don't want to let anybody else go over the edge. Amen. Come on, are you with me, church? Come on, Tommy, why don't you come to the piano? Come on, everybody stand up. Come on, we've already prayed for people. We've already ministered to people. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to give you a passion for people, a passion for souls. My church exists for others. Your church doesn't exist for you. Your church exists for other people. Lord Jesus, we pray. Lord, right now we pray. God, this chair represents, God, the people that are hurting, the people that are dying, the people that don't know you in Bowling Green. And Lord, we pray right now. Come on, church, pray with me. Lord, we pray right now, Father, that you would give us a passion. Lord, pour out your passion in our hearts, Lord, for the world that you love, for the world that you want to save, the world that you died for. God, give us a passion. The people that we go to school with, the people that we work around, the people that we know. Lord, give us the eyes to see the hurting and the broken and the lost. God, make our church a soul-winning church. Father, let intimacy, Lord, let intimacy grow. Father, that there's babies being born. Lord, that spiritual births are taking place. Come on, church, begin to ask God right now. Lift your hands to the Lord and just ask him, Lord, help me to reach the others that are around me. Lord, show me who to invite. Show me who to reach out to. Show me the people that come across my path every day that are hurting, that are dying. Their canoes about to go over the edge, Lord. Oh, their canoes going over, Lord. God, give me a heart that hurts. Lord, give us Bowling Green or we die. Give us the United States, God. Let America be saved. Father, let our nation be saved. Lord, but it has to start right here where we are. Lord, fill this seat. Lord, we don't just want people that have already heard the gospel. They've already been fed. They're coming from another church. Changing sheep, changing stalls. Lord, we want the ones that nobody wants. We want the ones that nobody else. Come on, is that your prayer? Is that your heart? God, send us the ones that are hurting. Send us the ones that are broken. They don't know you, Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter whether they're rich, whether they're poor. Rich people hurt too. Lord, give us a passion. Lord, I pray right now. Come on, ask the Lord right now. I want you to do this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, show me the people that you want me to reach this week. Come on, right now. Come on, I hope a face of a person is popping into your face right now, into your mind right now. Come on, let the Lord speak to you. Who is it? The person you work with, a person you sit across from in class, a person you're at school with, a neighbor. Maybe it'll be somebody you encounter at the grocery store. Whatever it is, say, Jesus, speak to me. Lord, give me vision. Give me the eyes to see the hurting, the broken. Come on, ask the Lord right now. Come on, if you ask him and you're serious, he's going to show you. Lord, who can I invite to the table? Who can I invite to the table? Who can I invite that doesn't know you? They need the bread of life, God. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Lord, this isn't coming from me. Lord, I didn't have the idea for the church. You did. This is from your heart to save a world, the world that you love. Lord, you let us play our part. So God, I pray you'd touch our church. Lord, make us a church that hurts for the lost. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. Come on, this week, invite somebody. Maybe you want to begin to talk to them and prepare to invite them on Easter, invite them on Friends Day, whatever it is. They can come before then. We don't care. Just think about who you're going to invite. Who would God want you to minister to? And don't let it just be about Easter Sunday. Let this be a lifestyle change. That we're going to be reaching out every day. Every day we're thinking about the canoe. We're thinking about that canoe going over the edge. Lord, we don't want anyone else to go to hell. Lord Jesus, that's what you said. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, fill chair number one. Lord, not just one time, Lord, but 1,000 times over. Fill this chair with people that need to know you. Lord, we thank you for it. We give you praise. Come on, is that your heart this morning, church? Come on, are you with me? You're willing to pray that prayer? Amen. Jesus, we thank you. Come on, one more time. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I'm believing that I'm going to get calls this week from people to say, you know, I was at this place or I was at that place, and I started talking, and you couldn't believe the conversation that erupted, and all of a sudden, now we're talking about the Lord, and this person is going to come to church with me. Come on, you begin to look. I'm serious. You begin to look for those opportunities, and God will do it. Amen? Are you glad you came to God's house today? Amen.